You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
We're now in week 7 of our series, Little Books with Big Impact. Some of you have been reading right along and enjoying learning and growing, reading the books of James and Jonah and Habakkuk and 1 John and Esther and Micah. I know for me personally, I've really appreciated this series because it's invited me to read the book of Esther, a book that I've barely read in all my years as a pastor and as a Christian. So I'm grateful for that opportunity. I know some Covenant people have purchased new study Bibles to help dig into the scriptures. Some people have been making use of online worship Bible study opportunities. And some of you have been reading the Bible seriously, honestly, earnestly for the first time, really trying to listen for what God is saying. And I think that's wonderful. If you haven't yet had a chance to dig into one of these little books, maybe today's your day, because Ephesians, our book for today, is a wonderful, wonderful book. It's relatively short. It's got 6 chapters and about 3,000 words, depending on the translation. Most estimates say it takes about 20 minutes to read it cover to cover, but I'd actually opt for quality over quantity and read it more in that spirit. It's the 10th book of the New Testament, right between Galatians and Philippians. We've got some devotional resources on Ephesians that are available on our website to help you reflect on the book. The letter to the church at Ephesus, the book of Ephesians, is attributed to the Apostle Paul, who wrote many other letters in the New Testament. Most of those letters are very specific and contextual and personal, but Ephesians, interestingly, is not personal or contextual or specific at all. Some people think it might be a general letter that was written to many churches, kind of an early version of a mail merge where you just insert the name of a church and share the general letter of Christian teaching for a particular church. So maybe we could read the book of Ephesians as a letter to Covenant Presbyterian Church right here in Madison, Wisconsin. Before we dig into Ephesians, however, I want to acknowledge that there are some challenges with this book, and not everybody is a big fan of the book, particularly chapters 5 and 6, where the Apostle Paul talks in rather archaic ways about family and marriage and slavery. This is a good time to remember that we as Presbyterians take Bible study seriously. We look at it as God's word written by fallible humans in particular times and cultural contexts. And our understandings of things like marriage and slavery and family have evolved a lot in 2,000 years. So we need to take Paul's thinking, Paul's imagery, Paul's teachings with a big chunk of salt sometimes. And we need to remember we don't worship the Bible, we worship the God who is known through the Bible and through our study, through our reflection, and through our life's experiences. I'm glad to be part of a tradition that wrestles with the scripture and really actively tries to hear God's word in a particular time and context, and a tradition that wrestles with complicated issues of wealth and poverty, of gender, and of race relations and things like that. So with that word of caution, with that word of being guarded in our understanding of Paul, I still think there are many vital teachings for us in this short letter that God does speak to us, even in a culturally challenging context. In Ephesians, essentially, the Apostle Paul is calling us to new life. More specifically, Paul's writing about reconciliation between Jews and Gentiles, between people and God, but the message is really about new life for all of us. The first half of the letter talks in sort of theoretical terms about this new life, theological terms about this new life, and the second half talks in more practical terms about how to make it real. It reminds me a little bit of what we try to do here at Covenant Presbyterian Church, how we understand our calling to be learning God's love and living God's love. We see that reflected in the book of Ephesians. So overall, it's an invitation to transformation, to change, to enter into this new life that God is offering us. And we hear that perhaps most clearly in these words from the beginning of chapter 2. Listen now for God's word.
You were dead through trespasses and sins in which you once lived. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love for which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture.
We use the word journey a lot as we talk about the Christian faith as people who are called to follow Jesus. We get a sense of journey and of movement and following as we read the book of Ephesians. God is leading us from sin to forgiveness, from selfishness to service, from death into new life. God is transforming us and equipping us and moving us forward so that we're ready for a life of good works, a life of meaning and purpose and making a difference. To help us discover what this new life really looks like, Paul develops many ideas in the book of Ephesians. I'd like to highlight three of them, three themes that help us live the new life. Theme number one is words matter. Paul urges his followers to choose their words carefully, to avoid evil talk, to say things that strengthen and encourage other people rather than tearing them down. He recognizes that conflicts arise and that sometimes we get legitimately angry, but in our anger, he cautions us not to sin, but to channel that anger in appropriate ways and to use our words very carefully. Elsewhere, Paul reminds us to speak the truth in love, to say what needs to be said, but to say it with love. As we grow in the Christian life, as we journey forward in the Christian life, we learn to speak more honestly, more courageously, more lovingly, more helpfully. In our world today, there are way too many words that are bitter, unhelpful, and just plain untrue. So we as Christians, we need to set the example. We need to be the light that shines with our words that are helpful, that are true, that are loving. A second theme for living the new life in the book of Ephesians is what Paul might call the call to be alert, to keep alert. In chapter 5, Paul warns us to be careful about being foolish, to make the most of every single day, to wake up, to watch what's going on, to make good use of the time. It's almost like he's using a 21st century concept of mindful awareness for us as we're called to follow Jesus and be awake and alert. Near the end of the letter, Paul encourages us to put on what he calls the full armor of God so that we're ready for the challenges that we might face, the temptations, the distractions, the evil that's out there, that we're dressed and ready in a defensive posture with things like the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. He encourages us to wear good shoes, to share the gospel of peace, to use the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. This wonderfully evocative imagery that he uses is worth pondering as we strive to keep alert in the desire to live the new life that God calls us to. So theme number one, words matter. Theme number two, keep alert. And theme number three that I want to highlight from this little book of Ephesians, remember who you are. The text in chapter 2 tells us that we're saved by grace through faith for a life of good works. That's probably the most important verses in the book of Ephesians. We're saved by grace for a life of good works. God loves us. God rescues us. God gives us a second chance so that we can live for a purpose, so that we can make a difference wherever it is that God has placed us. Sometimes we forget this simple and profound truth. Paul wants to make sure we get it at the very core of our being, our identity, that we're called, that we're loved, so that we can make a difference. So he uses some wonderful agricultural imagery, imagery I've been using a lot over the last several weeks, inviting us to think that, to remind us that we're called to be rooted and grounded in God's love, to let those roots grow strong within us with God's love. Many years ago, a former moderator of the Presbyterian Church spoke repeatedly about the roots of faith and the fruits of faith. In various ways, he said that if we want to live fruitful lives, if we want to make a difference, if we want to change the world for the better, we have to strengthen the roots of our faith. The fruits and the roots go hand in hand. Here in Wisconsin right now, we're right in the middle of the growing season. I've been riding my bike around a lot, as some of you know, and enjoyed seeing the corn and the soybeans, the fields and the meadows, the bushes and the trees. It's wonderful to see all these things growing. And with the storms, like the storms that we've had this week, the roots for all those plants really need to be strong. If a fruit tree wants to have good fruit, it needs to have good roots, especially in those stormy times. We live in stormy times culturally and politically right now. So we need to be very intentional as God's people about nurturing our roots to make sure we are rooted and grounded in God's love, seeking to grow every single day. So how strong are your roots in God's love? How good are the fruits of your daily living? Are you really rooted and grounded in God's word and God's love? And what can you do to make those roots even stronger? Well, we're doing it right now. We're studying the book of Ephesians. We're worshiping together. We're at least thinking about choosing our words carefully. We're striving to be more awake and alert in our daily living so that the fruits of God's love would be more abundant in our daily living. So together we're growing, we're journeying as God's people into this new life, a life of good works. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you for your word that comes to us from this little book of Ephesians. Help us to take good care of our roots this week. Help us to feed our souls and our bodies with good and wholesome things. And we pray, God, that you would help us to do good works through our words, our deeds, our choices, to make this world a better place as we follow Jesus on the journey. Amen.